Psalm chapter 92. I think that's the right chapter this week. I was 11 chapters off last week. Let's just see. Yep, Brother Pineda's got it this week. Good, okay. Psalm chapter 92. For those that were just here last Sunday, I had the wrong... I heard your pages moving, and I thought, man, maybe I have the wrong verse, and I kept hearing the pages. I looked back, and Brother Pineda was reading, so I thought, well, he was just pretending to read. Psalm chapter 92 and verse 12. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Help us in the short time we have to get the concept this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this morning, is Next Step Sunday. I want to talk to you specifically about that. Every living thing on this earth, for every living thing on this earth, growth is natural. It's just natural. The only unnatural thing with something that is living is if it doesn't grow. There's this disease, and I don't know what it is called. I forget the name of it. But it causes people to outwardly grow at a rate of 1 year, maybe every 4 years. They'll have a kid, he'll be about this tall. He looks like about 10 years old. Now you can tell by the face that he looks like a little bit like a man. But physically, they're 10 years old, but chronologically, they'll be 40 years old. Now, that's not natural. That's because of this disease that they have. When we think of growth, we think of a couple things. We think of maturity. As children grow, they become more mature. Most of them. Some of us don't. We think of being healthy. If you're natural, health is there, you will grow. The same should happen when we get saved. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The natural thing from the minute you get saved until the minute you die and you graduate to heaven, the natural thing would be to grow as a Christian. It's an unnatural thing if we would receive Christ and we're not growing. By the way, I did it for 2 years. I knew I was saved. I knew I had trusted Christ, and he was working on me, Brother Pineda, but I wasn't growing in my faith, and after 2 years, I guess I had a little bit of a hard head, but after 2 years, I finally got the concept, and I said, I'm going to start taking this thing seriously, and I'm going to grow. But I'll tell you what, those first 2 years were not natural. I was not maturing. How do you grow? Well, it's a matter of decision. You have to make a commitment. It's a matter of direction. You have to go forward. And I'll be honest with you, it's a matter of discipline. Sometimes you just have to endure through the times that are a little bit tough until you get to the other side. But the key is, growth is done in a series of steps. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read a couple verses in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and in brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, if these things that he mentioned are in us, we will not be like the unnatural that don't grow and they're barren and they have no fruit. Now, what's the key? Is the key all those individual elements he gave us? Yes, but the key is the word that was there before it. He said, add to your faith. And then he mentions them. And by the way, this is not a message for another day. He mentioned them in order. But he said the key is adding to your faith. We would call that growing. We grow to our faith. We grow in our faith by adding elements or steps to what we're doing. We add. Now, as we look at this text, this psalm has three parts to it. We didn't read the whole psalm for time's sake. The first part of the psalm talks with thanksgiving to God for his goodness. By the way, his people ought to sing his praises. That's why music is so important. We started recently and told Brother Pineda, we're not going to just sing two verses of the songs. We're going to sing three. I want to hear more. And I want two specials. I like more music. I think music's important. I love the orchestra. And by the way, if you're out there and you're hiding and you can play an instrument, quit hiding. Let's get with it, okay? I was excited when the kids were up here doing the strings. I could see our, you know what I want? I want an orchestra not only there, I want it here. And I want Brother Pineda to say, we don't have enough microphones, buy some more. And then we'll take a special offering. But you know, music's good. We ought to sing praises to God. That's one of the reasons God's people meet together. Second in the psalm, he was talking of the enemies and how God's people will ultimately triumph over them. But lastly, he finished the psalm in the verses we read by talking about the blessings of being one of God's people, of being righteous, of really growing in our faith. That's what God wants. That's the analogy. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God says if we've taught through the verse, and you know, we stand not in the sinners and ungodly and all that. If we do the things we're supposed to do, we grow in our faith and we prosper because we're connected to God's word. But this verse, and this is not the message, I just do want to go through this, it helps. In Psalms, he tells us three key words in the Psalms that we read, tells what happens to us if we're growing. He said, first of all, we'll be fruitful. He mentioned that in the verse. What is fruit? Fruit means to flourish with fruit. He said, you should be fruitful in your old age. What does that mean? As you continue to grow and get older in your faith, you're going to produce fruit. Fruit is a symbol of a healthy Christian. Fruit is a symbol of a Christian that is growing. The sign that you are growing as a Christian is the fruit in your life. You say, man, what in the world is fruit in our life? Well, fruit in our life is helping to reach other people. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I think that's Proverbs 11:30, I think. He also talks about the fruit of the Spirit in our life. There's characteristics or qualities that the Spirit of God will develop in our life as we grow in him. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, all that stuff you struggle with. But as we grow in our faith, it becomes more natural. There'll be outward evidences in our life called fruit that are showing that we are growing. Let me ask you this and ask, think of it to yourself. What fruit is there in your life that is an evidence to you that you are growing? You say, well, I come to church and I know I'm saved, but I don't really see anything. We're going to help you with that this morning. The second word he uses, and we can misinterpret this, is the word fat. That doesn't mean we need to hit the treadmill, amen? Okay? That's not what it's talking about. When the Bible uses the word fat in a picturing sense, it's talking about being rich or fertile. Again, it's connected to fruit. It's not talking about our physical size. It's talking about our spiritual life. God wants us, we should preach a whole message. God wants you to be fat. Okay, so we'll all meet at the buffet after church. Amen? God wants us. That's a sign. You know, that's a sign of God's blessing. It's a sign we're growing. It's a sign that we're flourishing in different areas of our life. It's our obedience. If we're not fat spiritually, then what are we? Lean. The boys, they like basketball. We're Laker fans. Pray for us. It's rough. Many of you are. That kid they drafted, Ingram. Man, the first time I saw him, I'm like, that kid's going to break in half. How many know what I'm talking about? Man, if I was a Lakers general manager, I would take that kid to a buffet for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He is thin. And they keep saying, you know, he'll pick up weight and muscle as he goes on. He better hurry. Something's going to break. I mean, he's going to land on the ground. His legs are like toothpicks. He's thin. You know, spiritually, we get thin. We're lean because we're malnutrition. We're not getting what we need from God. We're not growing. God wants us to be fat. In that way. Let me ask you this. What spiritual blessings are evident in your life that are a result of your growth in your Christian character? That's what really being fat is. Think about this. Do you have a fat marriage? Do you have a fat family? Do you have fat relationships? Okay. When a situation of life comes, are you fat? Man, I feel like going to the gym just for that. Amen. Do you eat at McDonald's all the time? God wants us to be rich or fertile. And then the last word he uses is flourishing. He used it a couple times. Many years ago at the church building over on Pacific, that was our theme. Flourishing. God wants us to flourish. What does that mean? To sprout, to bloom, to blossom, to grow fresh and green. Whenever we go up north to visit my wife's family, my in-laws, it, up in the Pacific Northwest, there's a reason they call it the Emerald City. It's not where the Wizard of Oz lives either. But it's because everything up there is green. It's really green, beautiful area. That's why, because a lot of water, perfect conditions to grow, flourishing. That's what God's talking about. An overflowing of, it's not just fruitfulness, it's an overabundance of fruitfulness. It's really fruitful. It's doing well. That's what God wants us to be, flourishing. God doesn't want you as a Christian to be struggling. God wants you to be flourishing. Let me ask you this. Do you ever look at your life and think about how blessed you are and how great the Christian life has been for you? Do you ever stop and think like, man, God's just been too good to me. Things are just going, and I know we all go through problems, but you know what I'm saying. Things are just going well. I'm excited every day to get up. That's flourishing. Now, we know God wants us to grow, to be flourished, to flourish, to be fat, to be fruitful. But if we're not, what's the problem? Well, the problem is never on God's end. The problem is always on our end. Okay? Because if we want this type of life, it has to be more than a desire. Desire is a start, but desire is not the end all. If it's desire without action, it's nothing more than a wish. It can't be a fuzzy feeling. It has to be an action. In other words, add to your faith. There has to be some steps that are taken to get to where God wants you to be. The reason we don't grow is because we have not nailed down that which we should do faithfully, the steps that we should do that are necessary for growth. Now, and don't say amen. I am not the smartest guy in the world. Who said that? It had to be an usher, right? Don't when that guy's gonna count the offering. But I am the best looking, but I'm not the smartest. Well, okay, I'm not the best looking, but I'm better looking than you. But I'll tell you what, one thing that has helped me in my Christian life on some of the key steps, when I decided to do them, I just said, I'm going to do them. When I said early on, I don't know what to do as a Christian, I'm just going to come to every service. I made that decision one time, it was over. I go to every service. When I decided I was going to get, I decided I was going to do it. When I decided I'm going to get my Bible, I get my Bible. I mean, when I've made those decisions, I've kind of just nailed it down. But a lot of times we're wishy-washy. We want to nail something down, but yet we don't really nail it down. We're kind of half-hearted at it. And because we've not nailed down some of these steps of growth, we're going to struggle. We'll make some progress, but then we give it back. Occasionally we do it right, but then we quit doing it at all. Do you want to struggle or do you want to be, I'll quit using the word fat, but you want to flourish? Well, I'm challenging you today to find some of these steps and to nail them down, to make them sure in your life. What are the steps? We're going to go over them just briefly. We have a few more minutes left. First of all, the first step is salvation and baptism. It's up there. That's a Spanish one. Salvación y baptismo, whatever, something like that. Okay. That's salvation and baptism. That's a starting point. In other words, let me just say this. That's a step you take before you can take a step. Because you can't take steps until you've been born. And you're born when you trust Christ as Savior. Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word, they got saved, were baptized. The first step in the Christian life is receiving Christ as Savior. Now, if you're not saved this morning, after I get done with this point, you can mentally check out. Because you got to do this first. Now, you can listen so that when you get saved, you have an idea of where you're supposed to be doing. But you got to get saved first. You got to trust Christ as your Savior first. You can't grow until you've been born. Now, I know, we're not abortionists. You start, I know conception and all that, but bear with me. So you get saved and then you start to grow. God's a God of order. What does he tell us to do? We trust Christ as our Savior and we get saved. Now we're his child. Baptism does not make you his child. Baptism is a sign to the world that you have become his child. But it's also the first step of obedience. And if we don't take that first step of obedience, we typically don't take others. Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. Talk about the Ethiopian eunuch. And as they went their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to baptize? He's been witnessing to him, telling him how to get saved. He says, hey, here's water. I want to get baptized. What's stopping me? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, if you trust Christ all your heart, then you get baptized. And he goes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And guess what happened? Boom. He got baptized right there. Baptism. Have you nailed this down? You say, well, I come to church all the time. Hey, thank you. But you need to trust Christ as Savior. If you've not done that, you need to nail that down. Remember this, growth is a process, but salvation is not a process. Right. It's something we receive. Number two, devotion. Devociones, whatever they call it. Devotion. What is devotion? That is developing a personal relationship with God. We quoted the verse earlier. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. God, once we get saved, God wants us to start that personal relationship with him. The other steps we mentioned are going to help you in that, but this is between you and God. What is our personal relationship with God? That's spending time in the Bible and prayer with him. I believe that would also, and we'll talk more about church in a minute, but I also believe that that's faithfulness to church. Because at church, you're going to learn the songs of God, you're going to fellowship with the people of God and be encouraged that way, and you're going to also hear through the teaching in your Sunday school class and through the preaching, you're going to learn more of the Bible that way also. But devotion, are you actively learning? Trying to grow. By the way, we need to nail this down. Do you ever spend time? Well, I remember last year, Brother Myers, you talked about the Bible. What was it again? Forget. The book. Exploring the book. I'm getting old. Exploring the book. You talked about that, Brother Myers, and I made a decision. Let me ask you a question. Did you follow through on it? Just make a decision. I'm going to do it. I'm going to nail that down. Devotion. It's personal time with God. Have you nailed that down? Do you get in the Bible on your own? Number three. We tried to make it real easy. You say, what? The adult Bible classes. Now we're getting to the practical church aspect of it. Just Sunday school class. The first two talk about loving God. But Jesus did say we're to love God, and the second commandment is to what? Love others. We can't love others if we're hiding at our home. God wants us to be involved with a church. We'll talk about membership in a minute, but we think an entrance point is the Sunday school classes. They continued steadfastly together in the apostles' doctrine. They were getting together to learn and fellowship. I think we get that in our classes. You see, this service here, if you come in late, you get stuck outside, okay? And you're just trying to get in here. And after service is over, those hallways aren't as wide as they're going to be in the new building. So you got to kind of like, you know, it's like herding cattle to get in and out of there. And so, you know, we're just trying to get to our cars without being run over in the hallway. And we're trying to get our child out of the nursery before they disappear forever. Okay? But in a Sunday school class, it's a smaller setting. By the way, if you're really going to be, we're going to talk about the church in a minute, but if you're really going to be a part of our church family, of our fellowship, you need to be part of an adult Bible class. If you've come for any amount of time, someone's invited you. We have found that people that don't go to Sunday school class, they typically won't stick in a church. Occasionally, but really they don't. Or they feel like you don't feel as close to the people in the church as you could because you don't know as many because you're just coming into the service and slipping out. But we encourage you, don't just be a part of the church, because the church is made up of people. It says in Acts that those people received Christ, they were baptized, and they were added unto them. Who? The church. Well, what was the church? The church was the people. The believers. Some people are very sporadic. Look, I just make a decision. I'm going to be part of a Sunday school class, and I'm going to be there every Sunday. Now, look, if you're at home, throwing up, stay home. Okay, we don't want you here. But you know what I'm talking about. Let's be faithful to it. Let's be a part of it. Let's get to know some people in the church, that, except for Raul. Have you nailed it down? Commit to it. Number four, membership, church membership. Now, we talked about it. They did that in the book of Acts, but also I like Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. You say, we always use that. It's pretty rich if we'll look at it. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's good for Christians to encourage each other in love and doing good. Right? God called. Then he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because that's where we can provoke each other unto love and good works. As the manner of some is. By the way, the word forsaking means abandon. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. You see, the church is important in God's eyes. This is God's idea. This is not man's idea. In fact, Ephesians, he gives an analogy. Husbands, love your wives. So that's tough sometimes. It gets worse. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ouch. We're not only to love our wives, we're supposed to love them the way Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. Talk about a homework assignment. That'll take you your whole life. But the point he says, as Christ also loved the what? You know, Jesus loves the church. After all, it was his idea. How do we do that? We need to commit to a church. Too many people. You know, when I was a teenager, I wasn't a Christian. I liked girls. That's how it should work, by the way. But you know what? One thing I never did when I was in high school, I didn't want a steady girlfriend. Because I would realize my buddies would get a steady girlfriend, and they were done. You were done. You never saw that guy. It's like, hey, man, we're all going to go do this. Oh, you know, so-and-so won't let me. And I'm like, sissy. So you just kind of don't commit to one. It's like, just go out with different ones. Then you're not, you know, now some people are like that in Christians. They don't want to commit to a church. I'll date this church and I'll date that church and I'll date that church. You know, no, you need to commit to a church. Church is a called out local assembly that meets in a specific place. Well, I'm part of the universal church, I know. And they attend universally and they give universally. It's the invisible church, I know. Invisible attendance and invisible giving. I know. We'll all be a church one day when all of the Christians get to heaven because we'll all be in the same place together. But we need a church. You need a church family. Right. You need to decide on a church family. If you feel this is a church you want to be at, you need to commit and become a member. Yep. What does that mean when I become a member? You can't park in the parking lot anymore. I'm kidding. If you need to park there, you can. Don't get me wrong. You know, if you're younger, I you're not going to, but. No, it's like saying, this is my church. I'm committing to this church. When I was older and more mature in my faith and found my wife, she wasn't my wife when I found her, or when we found each other. But after a while, I'm like, this is it. She's the one. Lucky her. Kidding. But you know what I wanted? I wanted a commitment on that. Amen? You guys are next. I wanted a commitment. I didn't want it to be, I'm like, listen, we're getting married. Here's the date. June 1st. Why? I wanted a commitment there. I wanted this to be forever. I was going to say long term. I want it to be forever. Okay? Until we get to heaven. Or else it wouldn't be heaven, right? I want to be forever. Shouldn't we pick a church like that? This is my church. I want to be a part of it. This is where I want to be. If you feel that way, but maybe you just haven't, I know you, some people are like, oh, yeah, this is my church. I just haven't taken that step. Well, I encourage you to nail that down. This, you know, when we first, it's like, yeah, I've heard of that church. Then we come here and say, oh, I go to this church. But when we're members, I say, I go to my church. I think we all need that, don't we? Church membership is a commitment to a church, saying, I'm a part of this church. This is where I want to be. I want to be a part of this family. Have you nailed that down? Well, I like to come here. Why don't you join us? We're not all as goofy as you think. Some are. Next, discipleship. Discipleship. Discipleship is that growing in your faith, becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, if any man come after me and hate not his father and his mother, he's talking about a comparison here, and wife and children, and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Jesus was telling his people, listen, I know you believe in me, and I know you say you're following me, but if you really want to follow me, you want to be my disciple, it takes a notch above. It takes a little bit of discipline. It's not just, so that's discipleship, becoming a discipleship. I'm sorry, becoming a disciple. How do you become a disciple? You become committed to Christ. Now in our church, we have a class where we try to kind of help you on that road. It's a discipleship class. I think everybody who's a member here should take that. Or maybe if you're interested in membership, but you want to learn a little bit more about what's going on, maybe take that class and find out about it. But it'll help you on that road to finding your place and being more of what God wants you to be. Some of you have been here, have never been to the site. Why don't you nail that down? You just make it says, I'm going to do that. We'll help you with it. Next, giving. I knew you were going to get to that. It's part of it. Matthew says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What you give to really shows what's important to you, and what you give to will become important to you. Right. Giving. We just switched. By the way, I still give. You didn't see me put checks in anymore because we have a brand new giving system we're going to show you next week. It's called Simply Give. And so I have my app right here. Oh, it's asking for my thumbprint, but I'm not going to do that. As we were getting ready for this, I was listening to some things, and I was listening to a guy talk about it, and he said, you know, most people in church never give a penny to their church. Well, you know, what if I said, I'm committed to my wife, and I love her, but I wouldn't want her to have a penny, you know? It's Valentine's Day, and it's like you know, I'm not taking you. We'll go out, but we're going to go to the Wiener Schnitzel. A Wiener Schnitzel. Someone told me it's not Durr anymore, okay? Now, by the way, I'd be okay with that. I like Wiener Schnitzel. I took her this year. I had help. We went to a really, really high-end steak place. It was really high-end. Here's how high-end was. I took a picture of my wife. We got to get dressed up for this one. You know, I wore a suit jacket. I never wear a suit jacket when we go out to eat. And it was called Fleming's in Seal Beach. Now, I went because one of the daycare people gave us $100 gift card to that place. Well, guess what, Brother Pineda? That's the entrance fee. That's the entrance fee. We got there a little early and we parked, and I said, I'm looking at the cars next to my car at the steak place, and there's next to my car on this side was a Tesla. On the other side of my car was a Maserati. Next to the Maserati was another Tesla. I'm like, man, I felt like I drove a Yugo. Okay, But you know, and we had to pay a little bit, Brother Pineda. Everything was like, you paid for every individual thing. Man, it was good. Now, I'll never go back because I'll have to float alone. I'll tell you, I don't even like macaroni and cheese, but they had macaroni and cheese with chipotle in it. Man, it was like bang. I ain't going back. But you know what? Listen, I knew it was gonna be a price even with that, but I think my wife is worth it. Okay? You know, it's like, no, I love you and I want you to have the best Valentine's Day forever. And here, I got you a daisy. Okay? And we're gonna go to Sizzler. Now Sizzler's okay, but that's not Valentine's Day. No, we're not gonna go out Costco. That's where Brother Pineda took his wife, amen. That explains a lot. But you know what? God tells us to give. By the way, I nailed that down early. Right when I started going to church, they didn't even teach me. I just knew Christians were supposed to tithe. I don't even know how I knew that. And I just said, I'm giving. And by the way, never stopped. I just like, God wants me to give. I'm in on this thing. Money can become an idol. God tells us, we know about the tithe. I am so thankful that when I went to church on that Easter Sunday and got saved, that somebody gave so that that church would be there and that that church would have a place to meet. And when I went on that Sunday morning, because they had a big push, that there was people there, and I went outside and someone shared the gospel. I had heard it before, but they shared the gospel, and the message I heard pushed me and I got saved. I'm so glad people before me gave so that that could happen.
Right. Amen.
Could never repay that.
Yep.
God wants us to give. Now, God talks specifically about the tithe. And by the way, I'm for the tithe. Say, man, that's kind of hard. Give something. Be involved with giving. By the way, I think if you give, you get in on it.
Yeah.
I gave that illustration before. There was a guy, he spends a year doing things and writes books about it. So he decided for 1 year to pretend to live like a Christian would live, even though he's not a Christian. And he was going to write this book on it. And so he was doing it and doing all this crazy stuff. And he realized Christians tithe. He's like, man, I got to tithe. Now, he didn't give to a church, so what he did is he picked some organization, and he went online, and he put that amount, and he said, it was a big amount. He was like, he goes, literally, my palms were sweating. I was going to press click, and he said, and I pressed click, and I gave, and he goes, I felt good. He said, the fact of the matter is, now I still give, even though I'm not pretending to act like a Christian anymore, because it's a good feeling. Why don't we give for others? Have you nailed that down? By the way, that's a tough one. I get it. That's where faith and trust come in, and God says, I'll take care of you if you give. We must hasten. Number 7, serving. God says, right after the verses in Ephesians about salvation, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, God said, once you trust Christ, you know what I want you to do? I've ordained you, what I'm empowering you to do. Good works. By the way, there are so many things to do in this church to serve and make a difference. Where's Mark? Right here. Mark lives next door, and you know what he does? He volunteers around here to help clean several days a week and just helps Paul. So we're gonna make him Paul's assistant, and then in 6 months, we're going to fire Paul and keep him. Amen? We'll do that. But there are, I saw him right here just picking on, but so many of you do so many things. And I appreciate our choir. That's a blessing, and they haven't come early on Sundays. I appreciate the patchworkers here on Sunday night watching the children and helping them to learn the song. I appreciate, and I don't see them because you can't get in the hallway over there, so I don't need to be over there anyhow. The nursery workers, our Sunday school teachers. Won't it be nice when they actually have classes that are indoors? I mean, Joseph's class, right outside. And I know it's not best, but that's all we have right now until we get in the building. But they're out there teaching their classes faithfully week by week, just encouraging the children, the teenagers. And I can go on and on and on. Find your place. Find your place. I remember Pastor Black, I've been going to church for 6 months, and I was growing and learning. And then he preached this message. He goes, somebody need to get involved. It's time. And I'm like, I think he's talking to me. And I'm like, I'm in. And I just started doing things in the church. I got involved in bus ministry, got involved in Sunday school, got involved in the rest home. I got involved in the day school that they had during the summer with the kids. I got involved in helping set up for school after church on Sunday night. I would order tapes from the tape ministry, and they were always behind because they didn't have anybody to do it. I'm like, I'll do that. Give me a key to the building. And I did that. They wanted help on the bus. I had no ideas how to fix an engine, so I went out there with Brother Black. I volunteered. The bus caught fire. But we tried, okay? But I wanted to be involved. Do you do anything in the church? If you're a member, you're this church, you need to find something to do. Nail it down. And then lastly, soul winning. What is that? Sharing our faith. Remember the first time I ever went out, I went with a bunch of Navy guys back when the Navy was open. I'm like, I'm going with these guys. We went to this apartment complex, and I was able to talk to a group, and some of them got saved, and I was like, that felt good. I was able to share. Remember, the first one I ever won, I went with my brother-in-law. We had no idea what we were doing, Brother Pineda. It was soul winning night. We went there. They didn't notice we were there. They didn't pair us up with people. I had no idea. So it's like, let's go talk to your mom. I went with my brother-in-law to his mom's house, and I had the plan of salvation written down on the inside of my New Testament. I stared at it all night. I'm like, oh, it says you're supposed to do this. And we talked for a while. And after a while of talking and witnessing and sharing scripture, I look up, and she had tears in her eyes. I'm like, you want to trust Christ? I didn't know. She goes, yeah. I said, well, we need to pray. Bow your head. And I looked on the inside. I said, there's a prayer right there. I can help her. But, you know, that's just, you say, I don't know how to do that. You can learn. Yeah. We go out on Tuesday nights, and we'll put you with someone. They'll teach you. It's a process. It's not what you think it is. God wants us to be so proficient. If we talk to someone at work and they're having a hard time, we ought to be able to tell them about what happened to us. Right. Got to nail it down. My question to you is, what do you need to nail down? All it takes is a little tenacity in each area to say, you know what? I'm doing it. I'm just deciding to do it. By the way, we're here to help you get on that road. But if you don't, I have found this, if you don't commit to something, you don't nail it down, it's never going to be successful. You look at these couples, like, they don't want to get married, just live together. You're setting yourself up for failure. We had a couple years ago in our Sunday school class, and they were coming, and they weren't married, and we talked to them, and we took them out to eat one night, and it's like we were thinking of getting married. It's like, well, we've been dropping hints for like 2 months now, but yeah. And we talked to them about it. But I'll never forget, they came one day and said, we got it. And they went and got married. Now, I remember what the lady told my wife. She goes, you know, our relationship feels brand new. You know why? Because you made a commitment. You nailed it down. What do you need to nail down today? Well, you know, I'm going to do this sometimes. You haven't nailed it down. Let's nail down the steps that God wants us to take, and let's take those steps, and that's what we want to help you with today. Let's all stand together.